the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, to a very different world, our next guest is a real trailblazer. Bernie Wright was an air hostess in the late 50s and 60s. She left that world behind when she married Michael Wright of Wright's Fish Shop in Dublin. They built up a business together, which included smoked fish, restaurants, pubs, a beauty salon, and an outlet at Dublin Airport, which even stayed open to serve essential staff during COVID. When Michael became unwell, Bernie took over the running of the business, and it's now a multi-million euro enterprise. Bernie, how did you first become involved in this enterprise?
How did I get involved? Well, Michael worked with his parents in a shop in Marino, and we were only recently married. He had an argument, as can happen with families, and came home and said, "I'm finished, I'm gone. I have two babies at this stage and I'm expecting a third baby." Two sons. He came home and had left. And so I suggested we go and speak to Michael Dorn. He was a lovely Wexford man, and his wife, Muriel. And we asked them if they had any sheds. Howth was very much a fishing village then. He said he hadn't got one that was free, but he would take his nets out of one that was on the front and give it to us. And he said, "And you can use it on Monday morning." So literally on the Monday morning, we had a property. Michael went to the market as normal, the fish market, 6 o'clock in the morning. He gave me a list of customers which he had started to encourage in the shop. And I rang the customers, and I had a small mini, and put the two babies in the mini and went down to this new shed, really it was. It had water and it had electricity. It had no phone.
And did you panic, Bernie, when he came home?
Well, when
and
you're
he said,
young,
"I've had a row and I've left the job."
No. Because when you're that age, you think you can do anything. You have this belief. It's not a problem. But I would be of that nature anyway. I mean, things are only there to be sorted.
But it must have meant, it must have been a real change for you, because your husband was working in the family fish shop. But right from the word go, you were getting, rolling up the sleeves and getting stuck in the new business that you had together.
There was only Michael and his assistant who worked with him and myself. So there's three of us. And we had an overdraft at that stage of £250, Irish pounds in those days.
So what did you do then? You had these customers, and you contacted the customers, and you had a mini car.
Yeah, a mini car. Well, Michael was a great salesman. People liked dealing with him. He was a very good, nice person, you know, whom people trusted. And they were delighted to hear he was doing something. So it went on daily from then. I think we got a phone about 6 months later. Now, people nowadays would not believe they can go in and buy a mobile, but you could not get a landline in those days. It took about 6 months.
And how did you juggle it then with the kids? Because you had two kids, you had another child on the way, and you were driving the mini around doing the deliveries.
Well, as I said, when you're that age, you think you can do anything. And literally we did, you know, it was and it was actually fun. Like, you didn't understand the seriousness of it. You just got on with it. Michael was such that anything he touched would take off.
Why was that? What do you think that was about?
He had a lovely personality. Very willing, very good salesman. You know, he was my Mr. Wright.
And were you keeping an eye then on the books and minding the money? Was that something that you felt you were strong at?
Somebody had to. It was very simple. I learned bookkeeping from my parents, who were very simple people. My father would come home on a Friday. They were working class. he would throw his wage packet on the kitchen table. My mother would take out about three purses and put the ESB money in one, the rent in another and whatever else, and the groceries in another. And she'd hand him back what was left, you know, and that's the way they worked. There was never HP. Everything was paid for. And my father wrote everything down. That's what I learned from my father. Write everything down. That's the basis of bookkeeping.
And as the business grew then, you would have been very involved, and two of you were in it together. But your husband, Michael, he was unwell, and that was a bit of a strain then.
Well, no, we went along, we developed. The government gave away the quotas for fish. All of a sudden, all the small fishermen around the coast were encouraged to decommission their boats. Like Howth was a thriving fishing village. There would be four boats out. If you wanted to get to the fourth boat, you jumped across all the boats to get there. All of a sudden, people are encouraged to sell their boats or break up their boats, and they were paid for it. And it was, in my opinion, a disaster.
And what impact did that have on the business?
Well, there was a great shortage of fresh Irish fish. It's terribly hard now to find a Dublin Bay prawn. They're all on a boat over to Spain or France.
So this really put a strain on the business.
This put a terrible strain on the business.
At one stage, did you have to actually liquidate the company?
Unfortunately, yes. Well, my husband had worked so hard building this business from nothing. He was under great strain and became ill and really couldn't, you know, operate. But I was still there, and sort of I'm blessed with great health and great energy, always was. So I kept going.
And how did you manage the pressure of that?
Well, I manage pressure for some reason. I'm an only child of a very nice, ordinary, working class couple. My father came home from the States at about 40 and met my mother. He always treated me as an individual. I was asked my opinion for things. So I got a great grinding with these lovely parents.
And it helped you then in later life.
I could nearly cope with anything.
At one stage, there were tough times, I'm sure, because your husband was not well.
There were quite tough times, yes.
When he wasn't well, you had to step in really and run the business. And
I'm afraid, yes.
The children would have been still pretty young. What ages were they at that stage?
Well, at this stage now, I had five children. The reason being, I was dying to have my little girl, who arrived fifth. She's the fifth child, a beautiful daughter. So
you really had your hands full then,
well,
Ernie.
I was thinking afterwards, because when you asked me about all this, I had to go back through memories. And I had this wonderful woman called Breatha. Breatha only left me there a couple of years ago through her health and that. When she was leaving, we both tried to work out when did she start with me. And we ended up at 38 years.
Right.
And we went through all the family photographs to try and catch which family photograph she wasn't in. But we got as far as 38. She was with me 38 years.
So she was a tremendous help, and, particularly
at
the start.
She was just the mammy in the house and looked after the children while I was working. So I had great support. I had a lovely lady accountant. I've had a lot of very good women help me in my working life. And this girl, Sheila, was about to have a baby, was about to start in her own business, and I was her first customer. So we had a great bond, and she suggested, Bernie, this can't last. We have to do something here. Now, my two parents at this stage had died. They both died in the 1 year. my mother didn't see my father's anniversary. She died 11 months after him. And I, of course, naturally was devastated. But I had a house that I could sell. And with my own money, I could see that the business was a fine business. Just I was able to liquidate, able to talk to the fishermen, agree with them. I couldn't pay them immediately, but I would pay them weekly or monthly. And I just got through it with some very nice fishermen working with you, and everybody got paid.
And the fishing industry around Howth, were there many women working in that industry? You would have been dealing with trawler men, you would have been dealing with different people in different circumstances. Were there many women?
No, there was one other woman in Howth. Her name was Bernie Reed. And we were the only two women who really went up the pier in Howth, because it wasn't considered a right place for women to be, because like there were sailors, there were women just didn't go up the pier.
And what was that like? Was it intimidating for you?
Not at
all.
Did
you not care a jot?
I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Was it actually an advantage?
It was always so different. They were nice. They're lovely, ordinary, nice people to deal with. Fishermen, I think it's only a woman could work like that with them. They'd be very, very tough. One of my sons was in at that stage, and when he saw the fishermen coming, he'd run because they would be very tough. But for some reason, with a woman, they're very respectful, and it worked. It just worked.
And looking back, Bernie, at your own background, and before you married Michael, you worked as an air hostess with Aer Lingus.
Yes, indeed. Oh, and that was some life. I joined Aer Lingus at 19 years of age. The friendships that were formed in those days, we still have them. We meet up and we literally talk about some flight that was a funny incident and can still laugh about it.
This was back in the 50s and 60s, what really would have been a very glamorous age of international travel. And for air hostesses and pilots. I mean, you would have been off to places like New York, or what was that like, staying in places like
At 21, to be getting up in the morning and going up to Central Park to skate was something else. Because no young people had travelled at that stage. It was too expensive. And travel was so different. It was such a... people dressed in their best suits and wore their high heels, and as did we. And we were under a woman called Pat Blake, who had come from England. And if you saw Miss Blake coming in the airport, you were straight away thinking, are my seams straight in my stockings? Have I got my gloves on? Have I got my hat on? You had to be in full uniform.
And what would you call her? Would you call her Mrs. Blake or Miss Blake?
Miss Blake.
It was very formal.
Oh, yes. Well, like life was formal then, you know, it was Mr. and Mrs. and that type of thing, you know.
And what about the pilots? They must have been a fairly glamorous sort of a crew.
They were generally all married, and they were a lovely lot of people. We would arrive in New York. The lads would order, we went by limousine everywhere. And to go for dinner, we'd all go to dinner. Coming home, the lads, they would stand at the bottom of the corridor and make sure you got in the door of your room, because the corridors were so long. Incidents had happened, you know, with customers. So we were terribly well looked after.
And were you sorry to leave that job and that career?
No, well, you see, in those days, it was a mindset. You sort of wanted to get married, but you knew you were terminating this fantastic job.
So getting married then, you met Michael, Mr. Wright, as you would call him, and you had to leave all of that behind. What was it about him that made it worth leaving all that?
Oh, Michael, I met Michael in the CYMS in Fairview as a younger girl, and he literally had a government health warning attached. because every girl in Merino and Fairview thought he was the best looking thing going. He had a lovely manner and a very good looking man. And consequently, I end up with very attractive looking sons now. It just all fell into place, I think. You know when you're right. You know when things are right.
And going back to the fish business then and how it had grown, and you had the difficult task of stepping in at a tough time. But from then on, you got involved, and the family got involved in all kinds of different businesses. There was a hair salon. There was a pubs part to it as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, just coming up to the difficult times, we always did smoking in a kiln, you know, a natural smoke. And we always had smoked salmon. But a salesman came into the business one day and was trying to sell a second-hand kiln. Not an easy sell, because not many people want a kiln. And I said to him, oh gosh, I said, your figure is too big. I can't give you that amount of money. But I said, I'll buy it from you and pay you monthly. And of course, he wasn't going to be able to sell it anywhere. And he agreed. So I acquired this kiln. And it turned out to be a kiln is very obviously a smoker. And like a man's pipe, it has to be seasoned to be good. A new pipe or a new kiln is no use. It has to have smoke in it to develop a flavour.
It improves with age.
Yes. And indeed, the one I happened to buy, it was complete luck, just had a perfect flavour. And of course, needless to say, we've a state-of-the-art smoked salmon kiln now. But that got us through and gave us a great name for smoked salmon.
And that really helped at a crucial time then. And in more recent years, Bernie, like you've expanded at Dublin Airport. You also have hampers are an important part of the business.
It could not be all me. I have the most amazing staff. All my children came into the business at some stage. They all brought a lot of quality. Everybody played a part. It was a complete family business. They all played a very big part in the development of it. And of course, Michael was only sick for a while. Once he came back, I decided to take a bit of a break, because the fish business is, you know, it's sort of a, if nothing else, it's a smelly business, you know, for a woman. And I decided I'd like to do something else. So on a birthday, I was over in Malahide, and I mentioned to the owner of the restaurant we were in, that I was thinking of doing a hairdressing salon. And this is all coincidence. She immediately said, oh, good God, the basement next door is empty. And within weeks, we had this basement.
You don't waste any time, Bernie, when you
get
an idea.
Well, that's the way things happen. And I went to my hairdresser, Pat. Her name is Pat Bigger. And we had this fantastic salon run by Pat for 10 years. And we had great fun, great fun.
So you really kept everything going. I mean, you talk about the kiln improving with age. It's a bit like yourself, Bernie. I think you seem to be that way, are you?
Well, I don't know. You get an idea and you act on it. And that's the way things happen, you know. I'm blessed with... I have never been sick. I literally... From the good food my mother produced for me, I had an egg flip every morning brought to me, you know. And I think she worked so hard to have me healthy. I've literally never been sick. And that's nothing to do with you. It's a great blessing. Hence, I've terrific energy.
I'm sure, Bernie, that it was great for you as the business grew and your children grew up to have the wider family in the business. But family businesses don't always go totally to plan.
No.
There was a legal dispute among members of the family that reached the High Court a couple of years ago. I'm sure that was not something that you would have wanted to happen.
Well, it never is. But if you look at any families in Dublin, and they're unfortunate, and it becomes unfortunate in a family. But the one thing you do not do is wash dirty linen in public. So if you're taken to court, you fight your case, but you don't go into court. So consequently, you pay the price. You pay the solicitors and the lawyers.
And it was something then that got resolved.
And it these things always get resolved. And once you've no dirty linen in public, my name and my family name would be much more important.
And it's interesting, Bernie, talking to you about your life and your work and everything. At times, things happen that just out of the blue can end up, you know, shaping your life or the direction of your life. Sometimes it's a very good thing. Sometimes it looks like it's a bad thing, but it all works out in the end. Do you believe in that serendipity?
Well, I think I have been extremely lucky. I've met terrific people. I've had great advisors, very good solicitor. I would appear to have fallen on my feet quite a lot. I have staff, Mary in the airport. We took over the shops in the airport, and Mary has worked with me for 35 years. Years ago, when we started in Howth in the fish business, there was a FAST course run by the government, sort of teenagers at 15 who had left school. And, you know, they were trying to train them in techs and technical colleges and things. And I had Hazel, and I had Stephen. Hazel now runs our complete operation for smoked salmon. She's invaluable, and she's with me how many years? Something like 40 years. And Stephen, the other lad with her, he manages the filleting. They're there that many years. They've never left us. They are the bedrock of the business.
And looking back, Bernie, do you think you make your own luck?
Well, I do believe. Look, if you're nice with people, people are nice with you. You know, and if you work hard work never hurt anybody. You need to have a passion for what you're doing. When we started the fish business in the very early days, I considered it another child. And it was looked after like another child.
And it's well and truly grown up now. Are you
It's had its 21st birthday, it has.
Are you still involved in the business, Bernie?
Oh, I'm very much involved. Now, I don't interfere. I've had different sons who came, did great things.
How long do you think you'll keep going, Bernie? Any sign of retirement? No.
I don't think retirement is a good idea.
Why not?
Well,
I can't wait for mine.
Oh, yes. Well, I can do anything. I mean, working doesn't restrict me. I was playing golf yesterday morning. I play bridge.
You've got the right mix of work and pleasure, and you don't want to lose part of that.
I think retirement makes you old.
Well, Bernie Wright, it's certainly you're staying very young, I can tell. Bernie Wright of Wrights of Howth Group, thank you so much for joining us on the programme.
Oh no, thank you for your very nice interview. Thank you so much.